Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Psalm 68:6 says, God sets the lonely in families. Psalm 68:6 is the foundation of Georgia Orphan Ministry Organization Promise 686. We will be talking with their VP, Ty Bryant, today. First, a little reminder about our 2020 vision campaign. If you follow JFO, you know we launched Care Portal in two Capital Region counties here in New York. Nationwide, Care Portal just celebrated over 50,000 children served by and 500 of those kids, I have to say, over 500 of those kids have been in Albany and Schenectady counties. I get excited, so I get a little tongue-tied. But over 50,000 children nationwide, over 500 of them here locally. We implemented Care Portal over a year ago. Local churches are partnering with us to serve and minister to local children and families in crisis. We have a goal to launch Care Portal in at least one new Capital Region county in 2020. We're praying about which county that might be, maybe Green, maybe Columbia or Rensselaer. There is great need in all three of these counties. In order to continue to manage and further implement Care Portal here in New York, we need the funding to do it. You can help us help more local children and families in crisis with a $20 monthly gift, just 20 bucks. And we calculated if 83 people committed to $20 a month, we would have enough to launch two counties. So $20 a month is also the equivalent of $240. So maybe you're in that position to give all at once. Some folks have already done that. But small monthly gifts have a huge impact. So please pray and consider partnering with Justice for Orphans. You can give safely and securely online at justicefororphansny.org. If you'd like to mail in a check, the address is on our website as well. Thank you for considering. Okay. Back to business.
Well, I feel like I should have party streamers and party horns for those stats. Just the stats alone. That's amazing.
Over 50,000 kids nationwide.
And we're all in this together. What I love is we're all unified and wanting to see it happen. So
We are loving it. So as I mentioned a moment ago, and you just kind of heard a little bit there from our guest, Ty Bryant. He is vice president of the Georgia-based Promise 686. They're on a mission to mobilize church communities in Georgia and beyond to care for vulnerable children. They're also involved with Care Portal, so we're going to talk about that too. But that's not all. Ty is also an adoptive dad and an adult adoptee. So welcome to the show, Ty.
Thank you, Sandra. I've been looking forward to this, just being with you because your energy is contagious. But I really am excited to be here and just share whatever God has on both of our hearts. So.
Well, we thank you for being on. I love your story and all that you're doing and can't wait to talk about it. So let's get started with that. I often ask an orphan ministry leader what led them to their work, what inspired them to want to care for the orphan or be involved in foster care. But for you, it's very personal because you yourself were adopted. Tell us about that.
You're right. It is very personal and has always been, even as young as I can remember. My story, I laugh and say it's a lot like the movie Steel Magnolias. I grew up in a town like that, and my adoptive mom would have been the Dolly Parton character, hairdresser. My mom had a salon. She had several people working for her, and one of the clients of one of the ladies that worked for her came in, and she was pregnant out of wedlock for the second time in less than 2 years. And she was just devastated. She didn't know what to do. She couldn't afford the baby. And the lady that owned the salon, who became my adoptive mom, said, well, if you don't want him or her, or can't care for him or her, I would love to talk about adoption. Left the conversation at that. The young lady was maybe 3 months pregnant at that point. Fast forward 6 months. When I was 3 days old, this young lady brought me in. She had just been released from the hospital. And she said, were you serious? And my adoptive mom said, yes, I was. And so right then and there, she handed me to the lady that adopted me. They wrapped me up in some beauty shop towels, I guess, and took me home. And when I first went home, my adoptive dad was like, wait, no, we have to take him back. Because he wasn't sure what was going on. But quickly, he fell in love, and I spent my first night in an Electrolux vacuum cleaner box because that's all they had. They weren't expecting a baby, and they just bought a vacuum cleaner, so they made a little bassinet out of that. And then the second night, I spent in a drawer because they took a drawer out and laid me in that, and then they got furniture after that. And it was just amazing how God came together. My aunt and uncle had become believers at that point, and so their church began to help my mom and dad. And then the church, this is so funny, a church that Promise recently began to partner with helped my mom and dad all those many years ago. Wow. So it's come full circle. Yeah. Didn't even know. It's been really cool to watch how that story became full circle, that this little Presbyterian church in this small town in North Carolina came around my mom and dad. One of the lawyers there drew up the adoption papers. And now, 40 plus years later, 50 years really, has come around, Promise, this model, and now they're doing care communities and all sorts of stuff. And they didn't even know the history of all that.
Wow, that is an incredible God story. And then now your parents became, your adopted parents became believers, you said.
My aunt and uncle at the time when I was adopted had become believers. And so they came around my mom. And when I was about a year and a half, 2 years old, my mom just felt impressed to get in church. She was not a believer at that point. She had been raised in church, but she felt impressed to get in church. Through that course of a couple of months going, she became a believer. Unfortunately, my adoptive dad never, as far as I know, became a believer. He passed away when I was 15, but loved me as best as he could, And so that's a whole sadness that you have to deal with. But the point is, my mom kept me, and she had one child biologically, who's my sister. She kept us in church once she became a believer. And so I've known the gospel since I was very young, became a believer myself in middle school. God drew me to himself, and truly the Holy Spirit entered my life, and my life hasn't been the same. And that's not just some kind of magical type thing. I just remember that sermons became important for me to listen to. I was wanting to hear it. The word of God, I remember it started speaking to me. I was a middle school kid, so I didn't have a lot to change outwardly, but my heart began to change. And then God in high school and college drew me into the ministry. And so right after college, I went to seminary up at Wheaton College, went to grad school there, and then began working in churches soon after that, and came to Atlanta in 1998 and worked on staff as the children's pastor for a church here for 15 years. And then out of that church came Promise 686. So that was a little bit of a
Wow. That is incredible. Your story is the perfect example of choosing life. Your birth Yes. mom chose life. And then how adoption is such an integral part of that, and how the church can step in. And then here you were adopted and you went on to become a pastor, and now you're having huge impact in the lives of vulnerable children. So I love that. You married, and you and your wife have three biological kids. I know this isn't a news flash for you.
Oh, no. You need to say, sometimes I need a news flash because I forget myself.
But for the sake of our listeners, him and his wife have three. What is your wife's name, Ty?
My wife's name is Kristen, and I will have to say today is her birthday. So happy birthday, babe. I love you.
Happy birthday.
I'm sure she'll listen to this. It's something. Yeah, her birthday.
So Ty and Kristen are parents to three biological kids, Lily, Levi, and Lyric. I love that. Mm-hmm. And then you went on to become foster parents. So what led you to foster care?
Okay. When I met my wife, I was working at the church here. She came on staff with the marriage and family department. I was overseeing the children's ministry. We met, started dating, got married, three kids later. I felt like our quiver was full, and God was using, in her quiet time, personally, privately, apart from me, Kristen was reading the book of Isaiah, and there were some verses, I think in Isaiah 9, if I'm not mistaken. Honey, I'm sorry if I got the chapter wrong, but Isaiah 9, that just kept sticking with her, and she said, I feel like we need to do something, whether it be adopt, whether it be foster, whatever. And I said, absolutely not. Can you imagine that? I had been adopted. I loved the concept, but I was three kids in and I was underwater, you know, just they were little and we were tired. And I said, no way. And so for 2 years, she would put books on the nightstand or she would send me an article. She stopped talking about it a lot. She just would do simple things. And I had a mentor at that time. He was in his 70s, loved this man, Carl Wilhelm. And Carl said, Ty, I'm going to pray for one of two things. Either God changes your heart or God changes Kristen's heart. Well, guess whose heart began to change? Mine. Little by little, I finally said, okay, here's what we'll do. We'll go to the foster care information system. And this was what I, in an information meeting, because here's what I was thinking. Well, in foster care, we can come in and love on these kids and then we'll love on their biological parents and they'll go back. So we don't have to adopt them. Right. That's not what God had in store, but that's down the road. So we went to the information class for foster care, went and got approved. Our first placement was a little boy. He was 5 days old. And guess what his name was? Isaiah.
Wow.
And we did not name him that. The biological mom who had major addiction issues just said, I needed to name him something from the Bible. And she named him Isaiah. Wow. And that's the verses that God had given Kristen out of Isaiah.
That is incredible.
It was a confirmation that way as well. So we got little Isaiah thinking that we would just work with his mom and mentor her and love on her. And maybe eventually he would go back home. Well, he didn't. So we adopted him. And I will have to preface this to say we didn't care about race. We didn't care about gender. We just wanted to love kids. And I told my wife when we first started, I said, honey, I want a child that literally does not have a home that we can love. And when we got, this almost makes me tear up, when we got Isaiah, they told us that they kept him because A, she had addiction issues, but she did not have a home. She was homeless.
Wow.
So God knew, I wanted to have a child that really needed us and the biological parents really need us because we wanted to love them well. And so Kristen has ministered to the biological mom through the years. After Isaiah, she got pregnant 2 years later and had Maggie. Maggie was addicted to meth when she was born through the struggles of the mom. But Maggie, we got Maggie when she was 2 days old. She's 5 years old now. We've adopted her. She's doing fabulous. A few little things we noticed. She's hard to regulate her emotions at times and, you know, all the fallout from some of the drug in utero interactions, but God has just blessed us. Mm-hmm. And through all that time, Kristen stayed faithful to just minister to the mom. Well, the mom got pregnant again a year later, and we brought home Millie when she was 3 days old.
Wow.
And so we had Millie for almost 3 years. We adopted her, and now the mom has been clean, and I'm free to share this story, has been clean for 2 years, just had twins, and the twins went home with the mom. And we still talk to her. Kristen calls her, checks on her, loves her, just is the hands and feet of Jesus to her. And I, her, the dad of the twins. So we're so excited just that we still have that relationship and our kids can know that. So
that is amazing. That's church. That's how
is. Yeah. And that's not to pat us on the back. Cause let me tell you, it has been hard. Yeah. I can say there have been times I just wanted to wash my hands of it, move on. I can't do this. And there's a verse in Job, and I just read it this week in my quiet time. It says, though you slay me, yet will I have hope in you.
Yeah.
Or yet will I trust you. And that verse has come back to me time and time again. Yeah. Though you slay me, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to hope you, God, that you have a purpose for this.
Yeah.
And that's
it's messy. It's messy, yeah. But it's messy. Ministry. So you adopted, you have your three children that you adopted through foster care. So in the midst of all that, and you're a youth pastor, how did you go from pastoring to then working as vice president of Promise 686?
Great question. Like I said, Promise was a ministry, started as a ministry at the church I was on staff with about 12 years ago. And then in 2009, it became its own nonprofit. And it just grew. They were giving adoption grants. They were mentoring adoptive couples. they began to work with our Department of Human Services here to try to help them and just put care communities around a few families here or there. They were mostly they were at our church, not anywhere else. And they began to see the vision for this to grow larger in Georgia. They said, we believe the churches are the answer. Denomination is not important. It's the churches that just want to help these children and come around these foster families and biological families. And so in 2013, Promise grew large enough to hire a president who's Andy Cook, a good friend of mine. And at the end of 2013, I was still on staff with the church, loved it, didn't have any plans to leave. Andy came to me and said, hey, would you pray about God, just ask God if he wants you to move over and become our VP and just help with the foster care side and grow that piece. And I prayed for about 3 months on and off. We did interviews. And so in March of 2014, I'm like, yes, God wants me there. And so I moved over to Promise that way. You know, I knew about it. Chris and I had volunteered around a family before we became foster family. I became a foster family. So that sometimes volunteering around a foster family or an adoptive family, God uses that to speak to you. And I think that's what drew my heart to change, plus drew me to a new career. You know, and so that's how I came. So I've been here almost 6 years. And I will have to say, in 2010, 4 years before I even moved from the church to come over here, I read two books. One was Tim Keller's Counterfeit Gods, and one was Donald Miller's A Million Miles in a Thousand Years. Mm-hmm. And I read them at the same time. We were on a 2-week vacation. We never take 2 weeks back to back, but we did that year. And my wife and I both read them, and I felt this holy restlessness rise up within me. I don't know what it was about the content of those books. I can't put right into words, but God said, basically told me he was going to move me. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know if that meant what he was doing. And so when we started fostering, I thought that's what he meant. You know what I mean? And then it came full circle that he literally was moving me from one career to the next. So it's still a ministry. 4 years later, after reading those books and wrestling, and I remember just talking to mentors and guys that I'm really close to, what's God doing? I wasn't sure. And then 4 years later, it all just made sense that he's like, I'm preparing you for a new role in your career.
Yeah, I find God does that. He positions us where he wants us to be, and our calling is sort of progressive. One step leads to that next step, and it's just how God does it. So I love that. Now, tell us, describe the work of Promise 686.
Okay. Promise 686 is here because we believe the church is the answer. So our goal is to really mobilize churches, not just, we started in Georgia. We really didn't think we would grow outside of Georgia. We wanted to equip churches to build what we call a family advocacy ministry. And within that ministry, we give them different tools. They're online. So when they come to our training, it's a one-day training. They have access to these online tools where they can have awareness events regarding foster care, adoption, just caring for vulnerable children and families. They can put care communities. It trains them how to put care communities around foster families, adoptive families, and even to follow the child and come around the biological family, you know, how you can work with them. We had Adoption 101, which is an online video course that for people who know they want to adopt, what are the steps you need to take? There's all these different tools that we offer churches, and we wanted to equip them and then let them create that in their DNA or how their church personality might need it. Because some churches want to do small things and then they'll grow. And then we had some churches that dove in and they were recruiting foster families. They were they were putting care communities around them. And so we wanted to box that, if you will. How can we box that training? And so I feel like God has called us to be trainers, to equip, and then to nurture that training afterwards, to coach, continue to equip even after they come. So we started here in Georgia. We had a pilot of 8 churches in Gwinnett County, which is one of the largest counties in Georgia. It went great and it began to grow. And now we have 250 churches in Georgia. And then we have nonprofit affiliates in 17 other states. Those are nonprofits that are like-minded like us that want to do what we do. But since we've created the package already, you know, the training, can we train them, just use our curriculum and train them to do it? So we're doing that in 17 other states. And we have about 250 churches in those states too. So I think the last count was 504 churches throughout the United States right now.
Wow. And that is incredible.
And that's just, and that's not promised. Those are churches that are being overseen by other ministries that we're pouring into some of those, but God's just been amazing. It's been amazing to watch how God's grown it. Because he believes the church is the answer. You know, back in the day, we didn't have the Department of Human Services. So what did we do? They went to the church, you know. So
the church is stepping back into the role that we were supposed to have all the time. I love, you know, really it's a holistic approach. You're helping adoptive families, foster families, biological families. It's great. And I know Care Portal is also a big part of your work there in Georgia, as it is for us here in New York. So Ty, what led you to implement Care Portal there in Georgia?
That's a great question. We were introduced to Care Portal probably 4 years ago, I'm guessing. Adrian even came out and spoke with Andy, and they were looking for an implementing a partner here in Georgia. They were just starting the implementing partner, how that looks and how to lay that out. And we were introduced to them, were impressed, but just we were in the flux of just starting our foster care strategy, you know, the building fams in churches. And we just didn't want to take on something else till we got that under our belt. You know, how do we equip churches? So we kind of put it off for about a year. And then we came back and we were looking, how do we get involved in the you know, prevention stage before kids even come into care? What can we do? What can Promise train churches do, help them do, so that kids can stay in homes where they're not being abused or neglected, or they just may not have food, or they may need a bed, or they may need, you know, medical services, whatever, and the parents can't afford those. How can we help? And truly, Care Portal was the best thing out there. We looked at a lot of things and we just fell in love with it. And so we began to implement Care Portal in early 2017, and it has been great. We launched in two counties in South Georgia, and then we launched in two counties in Middle Georgia, and then we've launched in four or five counties in North Georgia and one in the coast, and now we're in 10 counties over the last 3 years. And then our goal is to launch in five more counties this year. So that's incredible. A big goal. We're just praying that we can have. And the state has truly come around it. The state Department of Human Services has come around it. They have, you know, they've signed the MOU with Care Portal. They're ready to move forward. They'll do it a year at a time. But right at this point, it's made such a difference. I think the last time I checked, it was almost 2,000 kids have been served in Georgia. 83 churches are now involved in Care Portal. That seems small, but if you look at these rural counties that we're in, God's really working. Yeah. And then I think it's about almost $700,000 worth of economic impact, $700,000.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it's just God just brought it to us. And we love working with the team at Care Portal. They are so giving and so they'll just answer our questions. They help us think through how we can do it best. You know, it's a marathon, not a sprint. We don't feel this pressure to grow it quickly. We just want to do it right. And so that's been really great to work with them.
Yeah, we've had the same experience really here in New York, with tremendous leadership from Care Portal headquarters in Kansas City and, you know, really everybody involved nationwide and the impact that we're seeing here in New York. We have that goal to grow Care Portal into the 11 capital region counties. We're two so far. And even if we do one county a year, you said five counties a year. I was like, this year, I'm like, whoa, that's a big, hairy, audacious goal. But God can do it, right? Exceedingly, abundantly beyond.
We totally can. We have, you know, Promise has grown now where I have some regional managers that really help with those trainings and launches. So it's, you know, God's blessed that. And I will say that just the stories that we have come out of Care Portal, can I share one now or do you want me to?
Oh, please. That was my next question. Tell us some stories.
There was one in particular. There was a young lady whose children had come into care, and she, this was a biological family, and she had another baby and the baby passed away. This was in one of our North Georgia counties. And for the funeral home, said, we will not charge for anything except the casket. So four CareFortal churches came together and bought the casket for this baby. The funeral, helped the funeral take place, all of that. That young lady was so touched by that, that she has, God has just used it to, for her to transform her life, that those churches would care enough about her to do that. She is now doing well. She's actually on a speaking circuit with the Department of Human Services in that area, talking about how these churches have come together and doing that. And now her kids, they will be reunified with her soon, the ones that were in care. Wow. Just out of one CareFortal request. And I know that was a tragedy, but God used that to really...
Did she become a believer? I thought you said did she become a believer? And
she says the churches have just transformed her life. And I could share another one of it. Of course, Jesus transformed her life, but the church stepped in and they were the hands and feet of Christ. But there's another story in Middle Georgia where there was a young mom. Her children were about to be reunified. She had an apartment. The church had to get some basic things to fit that apartment, get beds and, you know, some food, that kind of thing. They were going back and spending weekends with her. That's how close they were to reunifying. Well, the mom got arrested and was put in jail for a pretty long time. And so the children did not get to reunified, but the pastor of the church, that the CareFortal church that met the need for her apartment, the pastor is who she asked for to come visit her. Well, he went to visit her. She became a believer in jail. Wow. And the church still, she's still in jail, but the church is loving on her. They're taking care of the kids while she's in jail. And it's just been amazing to watch that she almost got her kids back. She messed up. She owns it. She's in jail, but now has become a believer and the church is still loving on her from just giving her beds and food. They build a relationship. It wasn't a transactional thing, that's what we love to see about CareFortal. Yeah.
There's
that connection and where lives are transformed. And not everyone's going to become a believer, but you never know the seed that's planted, the encouragement that's given. And so I would just encourage people who do implement CareFortal to, hey, do your best to try to build relationship. You know, just get to know them, love them, and let the Holy Spirit work how he will.
Tell us the story about the church that saw the request for the girl who wanted her like hair.
Oh, the prom story. Yeah. My wife told me I was getting bald spots. I think I'm going to put a CareFortal request in for hair plugs or something. Anyway. No, this is a great story. This was in South Georgia. There was a young lady. It was her junior or senior year of high school. And she had recently come into care. She'd come into care as a teenager. It was her first prom. And so a request was put in for her hair, nails, just the basic things you want a young lady to have for a prom. And when it first went through, the churches pushed back and said, wait, this feels like it enables and doesn't empower. And so it was one of those things. It was a teaching moment for us to say, we got to make sure we really give all the information as best we can in a request. It's not confidential. And so we went back and said, this is the young lady's first prom. She's in care. We just want to love her well. The church went all out. They got her hair done. They did her nails. If I'm not mistaken, they bought her a dress. I think they got her a limousine, you know, so that it would be a cool experience, that kind of thing. And so God just took that one little request in that church, said, hey, this is amazing. Let's do this. So they kind of owned that little girl, you know, and just took care of her. And so I can't imagine, I haven't heard back from her. I don't know, but I'm sure it really touched her. Wow. And one last story, I thought this was cool. About a year ago here in Gwinnett County, we had a CareFortal request that a young lady needed some clothes. She was in care and didn't know when she would be sent, you know, if she would reunify or not. She was a teenager. Well, a mom and her daughter at one of our CareFortal churches met that request. Well, they went to visit them with the clothes to hand them off. And the mom and the girl who was in care, the little girl that they were, just really struck up a relationship. So the mom began mentoring her.
Wow.
So that young girl has become a believer. The mom is still mentoring her. It's a year later. She's still in care. She's got her foster family. But this mom who met this CareFortal request has become her mentor just to walk her through and help her as she thinks through life decisions and that kind of thing. Wow. So they don't all turn out like that. Those are the ones that we can highlight. But I just am, I'm excited.
Yeah.
To see what God does with Care Portal.
Us too. We've seen some similar stories of impact and lives being transformed, and what starts as delivering an item to meet a need turns into that life-changing connection that really is transforming lives. And, you know, it's sometimes it's just that meeting that need. Jesus met needs all the time. And in the same, you know, in the process, people were encountering Christ along the way. And that's what we want to do. It's such an amazing ministry and discipleship tool. So we love being part of Care Portal too.
And what we loved about it at Promise, it fits right in our quote unquote toolbox. You know, we can, here's that way your church can get involved. You look at the tools we offer, care communities, maybe that's too hard for you right now. What about Care Portal? It's really just meeting physical needs and loving on people and trying to build relationships. And a lot, any church can do that.
Yeah.
So it makes it an easy pathway to get involved in this area.
That's right. The church being the church, right?
Yeah.
So Ty, as we wrap up, any last thoughts on your heart that you want to make sure our listeners hear?
I would say, you know, as I was thinking about this, I would say that if God has tugged your heart in any way, just know that you don't have to feel called to foster or adopt to get involved in this space. There are so many ways to volunteer, to help people who are fostering or adopting, or to really just love on vulnerable children and their families. And I would say if you get involved, it is not going to be easy. You're going to have some hard moments where you want to give up and quit. But when you stay with it, you see the fruit. And I think I've learned that personally. You know, there are nights where we have dinner and our kids are climbing on the table and we've got trauma kids. You know, there's kids from trauma and we're trying to parent them well. And I'm just thinking, I'm going to pull my hair out. How am I going to do this? And God just reminds me, if I've called you, I'm going to give you the grace when you need it. And there'll be fruit from this. And so we just want what we do to be eternal in perspective. And I say, if God's tugging on your heart to do anything, don't be afraid to just go for it. You know, find out how you can get involved. You know, call Sandra, call, you know, Justice for Orphans, call Ty, you know, at Promise 686, call whoever's in your area. It's not about the organization because we're doing this together.
Yeah.
I mean, we love Justice for Orphans. We're not in competition. We just want to be unified. So that's what I say is call who you can that, you know, would lead you well and lead you in a way that God would want you to grow in that calling. So,
amen to that. So Ty, thank you so much for sharing your story and for all that you're doing to engage churches there in Georgia and across the country on behalf of vulnerable children and families. Love what you're doing. Love working with you and in Care Portal. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
I'm happy to be here. I look forward to seeing you in person in a few weeks in Kansas City. I think all the people are coming out there for something, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not on that. I didn't get that invitation, but I will be.
Oh, maybe the state directors, but I'll see you at AFO. I'll see you
in Dallas in May.
All right.
It's really cold in upstate New York. So I'm looking forward to Dallas in May.
We're going to come and thaw
out. If you would like to learn more about Ty's ministry, you can check them out online at promise686.org. You can also learn more about Care Portal at careportal.org. Justice for Orphans has implemented Care Portal here in the Capital Region of upstate New York. We need your church to partner with us. If you want to have that kind of impact we've been talking about today in the lives of vulnerable children and families, you can learn more and enroll your church at careportal.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack. Stay tuned. Here's a shameless plug for my upcoming book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. It should be available mid-2020, so be on the lookout for that. Please remember our 2020 Vision campaign. You can help us launch Care Portal in further counties in New York State. $20 monthly gift will help with that. You can give online at justicefororphansny.org. You can also find and follow more episodes of this podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play. Also, again, right on our website, justicefororphansny.org. And be sure to like us and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Justice for Orphans.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.